Some years ago in the Middle East, I picked up a small book called The Orthodox Way by Calistos Ware. It's a great book on Orthodox spirituality, and he first introduced me to the concept of man as microcosm and mediator that was taught by some of the early church fathers. This perspective has also been important to the great Romanian theologian Stanilae, whose work has only recently been translated into English. Their approach goes something like this. Being constituted as both body and spirit, man occupies a unique position in the created order. Because of his dual composition as spirit and matter, he participates upward into the spiritual, invisible creation, and downward into the material, visible creation. Only he, of all created beings, participates in them both. He's biologically related to the animal kingdom and spiritually to the angelic. He's ontologically, therefore, connected to both the material and the spiritual realms, and therefore is what the fathers called an imago mundi, a little universe, or microcosmos. However, in addition to being a microcosm, man also has the capacity to be a mediator. The fathers therefore saw man as both a bridge and a bonding agent between the realms of spirit and matter, the visible and the invisible, because all created things have their meeting place in him. Lars Thunberg says, quote, "Man was brought into being as an all-containing workshop, binding all together in himself. As the last of God's creatures, he was to be a natural link between all creation, mediating between the extremes through his own dual composition as spirit and matter. He is therefore in the position to unite the world and to bring it into a harmonious relationship with God." Unquote. Therefore, through us, the cosmos, which has been fractured by sin, can be reordered, its natural harmony restored, and offered back to God. I'll explain how they saw us doing this in a moment, but suffice it to say that the categories of microcosm and mediator are an important way of understanding our role, both in the order of creation and the order of redemption. However, because of sin, we are now unable to exercise this calling, and this is where the incarnation comes in. Jesus has perfectly united both realms of creation, visible and invisible, in himself. And as recipients of his salvation, we're now restored to our original calling and can fulfill our mandate as both microcosms and mediators of creation. Reflecting on the work of Stanilae, Charles Miller says, quote, "In this respect, Jesus, the God-man, is a uniquely concentrated expression and fulfillment of humanity's link role by which God and creation, spirit and matter, incorporeal and corporeal, are joined. That link, already existing in humankind, but limited in action and orientation because of the fall, is strengthened and perfected in the humanity assumed by Christ. Jesus, by becoming man, has actualized humanity's unifying powers as microcosm and link." Unquote. I should also add that the mediation of Christ does, of course, go light years beyond our own. Jesus unites not only the spiritual and physical dimension of creation in himself, but also the divine and the human, the finite and the infinite, the temporal and the eternal. Our mediation only concerns that of the created, visible and invisible orders. But nevertheless, Ours is a mandate that's full of excitement, creativity, and promise, if properly understood. In some ways, our calling to be microcosms of the creation is a role with which we're somewhat familiar, even though we may not have used the term. We're battling a way to assert that man is more than an advanced primate and that he has a unique spiritual capacity. In addition, we advocate that the physical universe is the result of intelligent design. It's a love gift from God and not just the shrapnel from the Big Bang. This we must continue to do, but as we speak often about this, it will not be my emphasis here. I'd like to focus on our calling as mediators, as I believe that this can bring coherence to our calling as believers at the beginning of the 21st century. This construct has the capacity to integrate what are often felt to be conflicting roles and responsibilities. Because we're constituted as microcosms of the cosmos, we alone, of all created beings, can act as mediators, as bridges and bonding agents in offering the world back to the Creator of creation. I'd like to suggest some examples to illustrate this, but my own list by no means exhausts the possibilities. Number one, our role as mediators is realized when, as the chief recipients of the gift of creation, we recognize that we alone can adequately offer it back in praise and worship. Everything I see in creation should be viewed as if I alone was in the mind of God when it was made. If it's for everyone, then in a sense, it's for no one. I must see it as a love gift bestowed personally on me. Everything in creation is therefore to be seen as a sign of God's love, just as every gift we make to one another is a sign and a vehicle of our love for each other. This is what birthday and Christmas presents mean. They're symbols of our love, not simply an exchange of artifacts, but signs and tokens of love. In a similar way, I need to view creation as an extravagant birthday gift bestowed on me personally. Stanislaus says that because of each man's unique ontology, he does not merely live in the world, think about it and use it, but he's capable of seeing the world as God's gift, as a sacrament of God's presence, and a means of communion with him. So his unique calling, therefore, becomes that of offering the world back to God in praise and thanksgiving. The universe is the theater of God's glory, and in the words of Lewis, it is drenched with deity. But creation is mute without man to give it voice, just as a painting is mute hanging in an empty gallery. Man is needed to give voice to creation and glorify the artistry of God. Without man, the heavens are still declaring the glory of God, but only as a painting in an empty gallery. Only man can appreciate this speech, give voice to it, and offer it up in thanksgiving and praise. One of the fathers, Leontius, said, "For the creation does not venerate the Maker directly and by itself, but it is through me that the stars glorify him. Through me, the waters and showers of rain venerate God and give him glory. Man gives material things a voice and renders the creation articulate in praise of God." Unquote. Most of us faithfully offer God thanksgiving and praise for our redemption, but we tend to neglect doing so for the gift of creation. A fresh appreciation of our role as mediators can help us restore the balance. And living in a day when the creation is often plundered, polluted, and raped, our calling to reverence it and offer it up in praise becomes all the more urgent. Number two, our role as mediators means that as a craftsman, man can take the raw stuff of creation and beautify it. Clay becomes sculpture, fields become gardens, pigment becomes paintings, wood becomes furniture, steel becomes an elegant suspension bridge, and brick becomes beautiful buildings. Man as mediator is called to reshape the world and endue it with fresh meaning. In the immense cathedral which is the universe, each man, whether scholar or manual laborer, is called to act as the priest of his whole life, to take all that is human and turn it into an offering. His vocation is not to dominate and exploit nature, but to transfigure it and offer it back as a gift to God through agriculture, manufacturing, music, works of art, and scientific inventions. Stanislier is, quote, anxious to re-establish labor as something spiritually valuable, positive, and even joyful. No one returns to God the things that he's received without his own labor being added to them. Speaking of the Eucharist, he says, grapes, bread, and wine are not only gifts to God, but things imprinted with human labor. We're to use creation and life itself as a perpetual offering to God. This response of humanity constitutes our natural priesthood. As priests, humanity is called to acknowledge the world as a gift and is called to present it back to God. This priestly offering is to become the means of communion and fellowship with God, unquote. Properly understood, this means that even our everyday work can become a means of communion with the Lord. And of course, this was a strong emphasis with Luther as he sought to recover the dignity and vocation of the ordinary person. But only man, because of his unique ontology and therefore his unique posture as mediator, is able to take the raw stuff of creation, beautify it, and offer it back to God. And such a perspective should color and give dignity even to the simple manual tasks that we perform each day. Thirdly, as the recipients of revelation, we alone can proclaim with confidence that the creation is a theophany of God's love. The creation, as the artwork of God, reveals what he's like, much like a great painting reveals something of the personality of the artist. However, fallen man doesn't see this, and our job is to make the creation, which has become opaque to fallen man, transparent again. Stanislier says that we are called as mediators to, quote, spiritualize the material, to make creation transparent, and to manifest the spiritual in and through the material, unquote. An example would be the human person. I'm a small piece of creation. People can view me as an amazing biochemical machine, but since coming to know God, this little piece of creation has become transparent. They can now see God in and through me. I've spiritualized the material, my body, and now manifest the spiritual in and through the physical. The creation may indeed be drenched with deity, but fallen man doesn't see this. It's like a piece of glass. We can see it as something beautiful, but if we only look at it, it remains opaque. And particularly since Darwin, this is how most people look at the material world. However, our role as mediators is to provoke man to not only look at the glass, but also through the glass, and so to discern God's presence within and yet beyond the creation. Miller points out that in Latin-based languages, the word for world is derived from the Latin mundus. However, the Romanian word for world, lume, is taken from the Latin lumen, lights, from which we get the English to illuminate. In this sense, the Romanian word is very helpful as it points to the lume, the light, the world, as a theophany, something that can become transparent to the light of God. And it's our unique mandate as microcosms and mediators to open the eyes of the blind and allow them again to see creation as a great theophany of the love of God. Fourthly, our calling as mediators can also sanctify our role as consumers, a role that we often view negatively and with a degree of guilt. As consumers, we ingest into our bodies air, food, drink, and all the good things of the earth. These are then transfigured. We are indeed in this sense what we eat. And through the activities of my body, the creation is offered back to God. Abraham Yaakov says, all creatures and plants and animals bring and offer themselves to man, but through man they're brought and offered to God. This is why Paul insists that we must offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, not just our souls and spirits. This is mediation. Creation flows into me as air, food, and drink, and through my body is offered back to God. It's hard to imagine a glass of water praising God, but in one very real sense it does. I drink it, it hydrates my body, and in turn my body glorifies God in acts of love, compassion, work, and worship. Many from a liturgical tradition would also see this as enacted in the Eucharist. We transform wheat into bread and grapes into wine and offer them in the Holy Supper back to God. Callistos Ware comments, quote, it's significant that when at the Eucharist we offer back to God the first fruits of the earth, we offer them not in their original form, but as reshaped by the hand of man. We bring to the altar not sheaves of wheat, but loaves of bread, not bunches of grapes, but glasses of wine. The fathers said that food was the love of God made edible, and that's perhaps why we enjoy it so much. And we should receive it as a love gift. It then nourishes our bodies, and then we complete the cycle by using our bodies to honour the Lord in worship and in good works, through which men glorify our Father who's in heaven. Even as consumers, we can fulfil our vocation as being mediators of creation. Number five, as those who experience not only the beauty and bounty of creation, but also its pain and brokenness, we have the unique opportunity, again as mediators, not just to bear suffering, but to transform it into glory. Pain is a very powerful manifestation of the way creation has been fractured by sin, and its integrity and cohesiveness compromised. In addition, many of the victims of pain react with anger and rage against God, thus heightening its power to alienate. By way of contrast, when we refuse to allow our personal pain to operate as alienation, we fulfill our calling as mediators. This is what's happening to Job when in the midst of his pain he affirms that, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Clearly our sufferings are not redemptive in the same way as our Lord's were, but they can be redeemed and sanctified by the power of the cross and offered back to God as first fruits of a restored and renewed creation. Philip Yancey relates the story of Peggy Woodson, who suffered with cystic fibrosis from childhood and died at the age of 23 while she was still finishing university. Beside her bedside was a 3x5 card that read, Endurance is not just to bear a hard thing, but to turn it into glory. She may not have realized that her suffering was mediation, but surely it was. To bear tribulation joyfully is to turn pain into prayer. Conversely, healing, not only suffering, is mediation. A healed body is a signpost to the renewed creation and is an equally powerful testimony to our role as mediators in restoring what has been wounded by sin and death. And this is, of course, why John described our Lord's works of healing as signs. They were miracles, signposts, pointing towards a renewed and restored creation. Finally, number six, and of huge importance, as the human recipients of reconciliation, we are God's channels to mediate it to other human beings. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, and we know the verse well, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Reconciliation always necessitates mediation. And as those who have received the benefits of reconciliation, we have now been given the ministry of reconciliation. Just as I spoke earlier of taking the raw stuff of creation and beautifying it so we can offer it to God, now in Christ we have the high calling to mediate the reconciliation of Jesus by our words and our works to those unique pieces of creation we describe as human persons. Our role as a bridge and a bonding agent never reaches a higher pinnacle than this. Paul says in Romans 14 that as a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, he was ministering as a priest the gospel of God, that his offering of the Gentiles, as a priest, as a mediator, might become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. This is our calling also, and the apex of our vocation as mediators. Much more could be said, but the concept of man as both microcosm and mediator can be very helpful in integrating the many diverse activities we're all involved in. Someone said that we should distinguish between nature and grace, but we shouldn't separate them. The fathers never did, and their construct of microcosm and mediator can be very helpful in integrating realms that since the dualism of the Enlightenment have been alienated from each other.